the culmination of our celebrations at Easter, the Easter Triduum, the 3 days of our Lord's Passion, Death and Resurrection, comes at the vigil on Easter Saturday night. It's a wonderful night, and it's a night that is loved by many because we have the fire lit outside the church in the dark night sky, and the fire radiating out light and heat and hope to perhaps a weary congregation. From this fire will be lit the Paschal candle, and the candle is lit, and the celebrant traces on the candle the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Christ is both the beginning and the end of all time. But the celebrant also traces out the year, and this year the celebrant will trace out 2018, because Christ comes into the world not only 2,000 years ago in Palestine, or 1,000 years ago, whatever. He comes into our world, in our time, to every generation, and to us this year. So each Easter is a privileged time for us to encounter the risen Christ come into the world. And that is why the celebrant draws out the year on the candle. The light on the candle is given, shared with all the people in the church. When the candle is brought into the church, tapers are brought up, and the candles are lit always from the Paschal candle, because Christ is the source of the light, not any other light. And there are no lights generally lit in the church. The only light, the only source of light, is Christ. And this symbolizes that our light is Christ. He is the light to us in the darkness. Three times the celebrant will call out to the congregation, holding up the cross, holding up the candle, light of Christ, and the congregation will say, thanks be to God. And again a second time, the Paschal candle will be raised, light of Christ, and the people will say, thanks be to God. And a third time, light of Christ, thanks be to God.
So the ritual of the light outside and the moving of the light through the church, it seems to me that that ritual movement actually has an impact on the experience.
Absolutely, because Christ is coming in to his church, and the people are outside as well first, and the congregation move with Christ into the church, and the church becomes church only when Christ and his people come into the building together. And it is Christ the cornerstone, with us the living stones, making up that building. And the church bricks and mortar are an outer shell of the reality of church inside, which is Christ and all his members gathered together, all of us receiving the light of Christ. And light is a wonderful image because it doesn't diminish when it passes from one to another. Christ's, the light of Christ, we keep in ourselves, and we can be a source of Christ to others. There isn't any diminishment. It's a wonderful thing about the light as an image for Christ.
And there's a real sense of celebrating the arriving of the light.
Absolutely, because we're celebrating in the dark, and the there's no light, artificial light, outside or inside. The only light is that of Christ. And we've been in the dark for some time, and then we see this light breaking the darkness and then spreading through all the people, spreading through our friends and neighbours. And there's an exhilarating feeling about it as we're joined into that movement of light, and we're part of that transmission, part of that giving, but also part of that receiving. So there's a wonderful sense of building up the Church of Christ in this celebration. Then we come to the wonderful moment where we begin to sing the joy that we have of what Christ has done for us. And we have the Exultet, this wonderful hymn which proclaims God's great deeds for humanity from the very beginning to today. And we have all the great figures of the Old Testament, all that God has done for each and every one. And again, we might think of these characters. Some of them weren't so good. Some of them were good people. Some of them had misfortunate lives, partly of their own design. And yet God links with all the stories of all of them and brings the offer of salvation to everyone. And we celebrate all those people who, despite the difficulties they have had, have taken up the offer of salvation and are now counted amongst the saved. And we wish to join them, and not only join them, but to bring others with us to the kingdom of God. So we have this wonderful outpouring of joy, and the Exultet has wonderful melodies. In recent years, several Irish composers have composed the new melodies for the Exultet, and they even have an Irish kind of a slant in terms of our melodies ringing up through, and you can almost hear the saints of Ireland that have gone before us rising up, singing with us in this Exultet, in these Irish renditions of the Exultet.
And that carries on through the Gloria then, does it?
Well, we don't have the Gloria just yet. We have a whole series of Old Testament readings at the Easter Vigil, which recapitulate all that God has done for us from the beginning. We begin with creation, where God creates all of creation. He speaks creation. And I think that's very important for us to remember, that creation was spoken, and that from the very beginning, God is speaking to us, and he continues to speak to us through his creation, if we have ears to hear. And then we have the sacrifice of Isaac, a very difficult reading for many parents who may have lost children, but even for anyone, this idea that God might ask Abraham to sacrifice his son. And yet, of course, just 2 days earlier, we learn who this story is really about. The Bible is about God's story with humanity. And the story of Abraham and Isaac is really God's story, God revealing to us the depth of his love, that it goes to giving his own son to save us, that we might be with him. And so on, we go through the Red Sea, out of Egypt, from slavery to freedom. And we also recapitulate what God has done for the exiles in Isaiah, and how they are going to be fed with new wine and new bread. And of course, that will happen shortly. And later then again, we have the water that we will be given with Ezekiel, that will cleanse us, purify us, and give us a new heart, flesh. So there are wonderful promises made in these readings, and the wonderful thing about the readings is that we can see these promises coming to fruition in the course of this very celebration, where God does give us new bread, new wine, does give us a new heart, does give us a new spirit.
I'm getting a sense, you know, sometimes we can think of the Holy Saturday night as a long ceremony.
Absolutely.
And I suppose I'm getting a sense, just listening to you, of that it's the story, and if we can connect with the story, that's what we need.
Absolutely. There's a whole story of our salvation, the whole story of the history of humanity, and we're not looking at my individual story or your individual story. We're looking at the stories of everybody, and there's a wonderful inclusivity there. And the sinners, the professional sinners, the less professional sinners, the do-gooders, everybody is there. And God is working with all of us. There is a wonderful message for those that have got it wrong at every one of these readings, because it's people down on their luck at every stage that a new opportunity is shown to them. The broken hearts are mended. Those in prison are freed. Those in slavery are freed. Those in captivity are brought back to their homes. Those women who have been battered and abused are clothed, anointed, washed. There are wonderful things that happen here in these readings. And it's a pity, really, that they're, people kind of fall asleep sometimes. But there's a dynamic to them. There's a dynamic of gifts for God's people, gifts that will help them on the road to salvation.